Mark Driscoll was commended by many online for his recent rebuking of a quote-unquote Jezebel spirit at a men's conference he was speaking at, as he was asked to step down from the stage by the pastor of the church holding the event, only to be asked back up to stage in order to preach again. As we look at the latest viral event that Driscoll has been a part of, and whether or not it should have been commended or condemned. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News. Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to be looking at this whole men's conference, stronger men's conference that Mark Driscoll was a part of in Springfield, Missouri, an annual conference that sometimes brings in tanks, sometimes brings in boxers, and sometimes happens to bring in dancers on poles with swords in their mouth. But before we get into that, we just want to ask that you would like this video, subscribe to the Good Fight Ministries YouTube channel, and leave a 5-star review if you do so in terms of listening via podcast and you would like to, if you feel so led. So that would be awesome. That just helps these messages get out all the more. And with so much of a lot of the commotion between Mark Driscoll's quote-unquote observations and then their reconciliation at the very same conference, we need to ask ourselves what could have transpired that on the stage, Mark Driscoll was calling him a spiritual father, crediting him with so much of his ministry being backed up, and also Pastor John Lindell going there and really saying, oh, we want you to teach, this is all great. What could have transpired to get him just a few days later to say something like this?
But it seems that Mark is more interested in the controversy that will sell books, gain clicks, and increase donations to his ministry. To those who follow Mark Driscoll Ministries, in light of what has been presented, you should reconsider your relationship and support of Mark Driscoll Ministries.
I want to say this because Good Fight Ministries, for a number of years, has been warning about Mark Driscoll. In fact, I think Pastor Joe Schimmel was warning about him before I was even saved concerning what some people were calling the cussing pastor. And not only has Mark Driscoll shown himself to completely be unqualified for the position of pastor, but has continued to do so and then having a big giant fall and then being brought back up. And in this bringing back up, I started to notice this a couple years ago, seeing video after video, short after short with him speaking, and now him locking arms with the Demon Slayer crews. And it has been quite an interesting display. And sadly enough, this is very common when it comes to the charismatic movement, that when somebody has a great big fall and they find out a lot of the dirty stuff they're doing, they build them back up to put them up in this position. And you're going to see that according to this clip, according to Pastor John Lindell, that Jimmy Evans, Robert Morris, and John Lindell himself are responsible for replatforming Driscoll.
Let me just say that I've known Mark since 2008, when the church that Mark pastored, Mars Hill, fell apart and Mark had very few friends. We stood with Mark and Grace to encourage them. We shared our platform with them when almost no one else would. Eventually, Pastor Robert Morris and Pastor Jimmy Evans worked with Mark and Grace as spiritual overseers to help them reestablish their ministry in Scottsdale, Arizona, through the planting of Trinity Church.
The major controversy today that we're talking about has to do with the recent Stronger Men's Conference. And I will say this, I saw a ton of posts online, a ton of people, even some of which that would not agree with Mark Driscoll on a lot of things, but saw him doing this rebuke, and he actually doesn't even call it a rebuke, so I find that very interesting, and thought, this is really good stuff. So what we're going to play here is Mark Driscoll's rebuke, then we're going to show you what he was ultimately rebuking, and then the recanting of that rebuke.
And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends.
Now, in Mark's rebuke there, I think he over-spiritualizes a number of different things, and I think that he does worse than reaching. And we'll talk about the Jezebel spirit idea that he kind of proposes there, as well as this idea of the Asherah pole, which was one of the goddesses, so to speak, the false goddesses of different Baal worship or Canaanite worship. And when you're looking at this, and we're going to be playing a clip here of Alex Magala, and I want to talk a little bit more about him, because if you see the rebuke that John Lindell did on Mark Driscoll after the fact, after this whole entire conference happened, after the observation by Mark, and then the sit down and reconcile, and then now an entire message of rebuke telling people not to listen to him anymore. A lot of John's, let's say, his rebuke is based on the fact that Alex Magala, the one doing the sword experiment there, that he is a blood-bought believer. And some of the evidences he gives for that is he was sharing his faith with someone. Right after that, one of the other things he says is that he's been saved for 10 years going to Mosaic Church, which is not too far from us, and it's pastored by Irwin McManus, someone that I think should be marked and avoided as a teacher. So those already bring a lot of questions. And then we're going to be showing an article later, and it is very kind of gross, not even kind of, it's very gross what the article says. And if he's really been saved for 10 years, this article regarding some of his stripping is actually from 8 years ago. And so that's an issue. And then we'll also be showing some things in more relevant and recent material that he's put out that also brings big, big pauses with saying this person without a doubt is a blood-bought believer. And the performance we're going to show, and I want to say, I looked through some comments from people who actually attended and how they felt about it. And a lot of them talked about this was one of the cringiest things that I've ever been a part of. And yeah, he's licking a sword. There's a lot of weird stuff. We're only going to show so much. But let's also not take it to a place where I see Mark Driscoll doing and putting parallels there that I don't really see that are actually there. It is interesting that something we did find out is that Mark Driscoll, after this performance, sat down with John Lindell for, according to him, 20 minutes and just so happened not to mention any of this to him.
Let me provide some background on what happened at the Stronger Men's Conference on Saturday morning. When I came into the green room, I visited with Mark Driscoll. We talked for about 20 minutes. He talked about how much he loved our family, loved the church, and how he was a few years behind me in age, but wanted to get together in the coming months to discuss church leadership transition so they might learn from us. As well, we talked about what he would be speaking on. He stated that session one would be about Ahab and Jezebel. At no time during our conversation was there any mention of his angst over Alex Magala's performance or his concerns about the event. Mark could have easily mentioned Alex, but he did not.
Now, if that doesn't seem a little interesting to you, it seems interesting to me that it doesn't come out in a 20-minute session talking about what you're going to teach on, and then all of a sudden the things you're teaching on are over-spiritualizing certain things and talking about them in such a way that pushes something, pushes almost like a narrative, almost like someone that might be selling a book on the subject. Seems a little weird that you would rather do this on stage to create the controversy and not mention privately that you have a problem with it. it's one of those things when you look at Mark Driscoll saying this and spiritualizing all of these things that you are recognizing, it seems like he was building something up there that he was speaking about. And he was trying to make parallels to things that I don't know that that's necessarily what's going on. Now, I want to read the comment, and I think that other people have pointed out some other things as well. First comment I want to read is from an article about Alex that was up on the Daily Mail. And I'm just going to read the headline. It's pretty gross, and it says, "Exclusive: How a dirt poor bad boy from a sleepy Moldovan town became a seedy Vegas stripper before wowing millions as BGT's daredevil sword swallower." Now, Alex Magala has been on Britain's Got Talent. I think even maybe in China's Got Talent. He's getting all the Got Talents, doing this new sword thing. It seems like he's not doing the stripping thing as much anymore, as far as I can tell. But somebody actually messaged him directly and asked him, like, "Hey, is this what this is all about?" And I want to read what he has to say, but I also think he's been exposed as not actually being exactly what he says. And the guy who wrote him was named Kyle, and Alex responded this: "Hello, Kyle. Thank you for your concern. I was asked to issue a statement regarding this issue, so I would share it with you as well. Quote, in response to recent criticisms of Stronger, in response to recent criticisms of Stronger Men's Conference produced by James River Church, I feel compelled to clarify the context and intention behind my specialty act. My performance, which some have controversially likened to inappropriate entertainment, is deeply rooted in a historical and cultural tradition that dates back over 1,200 years and has since become a respected discipline showcasing human strength and agility. Pastor Mark Driscoll's remarks about my act failed to recognize the difference between a male striptease and a stunt performance rooted in art and sport. Only an uninformed person would draw a comparison between my act and an inappropriate performance. I feel that this danger act is perfect for the Stronger Men's Conference. I am a Christian and have always aimed to use my talents to inspire and entertain audiences in a way that respects my faith. The act in question was designed to be a celebration of physical human achievements and is aligned with the James River Church's purpose in bringing others into the light of God. It's essential to approach such performances with an understanding of the intention rather than reducing them to mere entertainment." I will say a couple things. I don't know that this man's a Christian, and I actually found this on Spencer Smith's Twitter, where he posted some videos from, it looks like, 3 months ago from Alex Magala, who says he's always, you know, integrated his faith into his performances, but it has him seemingly in some sort of Buddhist temple, and it's called Alex Magala Techno Dream, and he's literally doing the demonic, like, namaste pose here, trying to center his chi and align his chakras. But I want to say this, and I'm trying to caveat this the best I can. I want to say this when I look at what Mark Driscoll was saying. If Mark Driscoll really did see this as a sinful act, then rebuking what was going on in public should be done. And I'm going to show that scripturally why I believe that should have been done. Number one. Number two, Mark Driscoll should not be speaking at any men's conference because he has proven over many years, over the way he has manipulated power and so forth, that he is not a strong man, that he is a very weak man. And so he should not be speaking at any conference that is supposed to be even closely related to biblical truth. I will say that. He is disqualified, he is unqualified, and should be nowhere near a pulpit. Now, with all of that, let's now look at this for the purpose of growing so that we would know if a situation happened where maybe someone was along in a conference and had no idea and didn't sit down with the pastor for 30 minutes after the performance and not mention anything. Maybe all of that did happen and whatever. The pastor coming up and rebuking him and saying, "You're not doing Matthew 18. Now, you've already seen him being stopped by the pastor. And the quote that the pastor says is Matthew 18. He says, basically, it was Matthew 18 situation, and you shouldn't be doing this because Matthew 18, you need to just pay attention to verse 15 and not the rest. But nonetheless, Matthew 18, he says, because of Matthew 18, we know that what Mark was doing was wrong. Is that true? Not necessarily. And I'm doing this as a thought process of, even if Mark was right and wasn't disqualified and unqualified from this position. Now, here are the facts. When we look at this situation, if it was a real situation, I actually don't know if this wasn't just a publicity stunt. I'm not 100% sold one way or the other. If this was all a publicity stunt by Mark, it seemed like he was really ready for the advertisement and so forth, and got right back up there to sit next to the pastor for 30 minutes and discuss how, you know, they got no problems and they're such great friends. But Matthew 18 says this, in Matthew 18, starting at verse 15, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Now, this is a situation within the confines of the congregation that we see a brother in sin. And when we see them in sin, we take them and say, hey, man, I noticed that this has been going on. I want you to stop having this happen, because the goal of this is to what? You have won your brother. The goal of witnessing and sharing and trying to rebuke someone according to the word of God in private is because they have a sin that maybe others don't know about, maybe some do, that we're going to them to try to bring about edification and, even more importantly, sanctification in the body of Christ. And then we bring over two or three witnesses, which is interesting when you get later into this and when you look at the text. These are actually the same witnesses that used to bring forth the death penalty in the book of Deuteronomy. And in doing so, you are basically saying this is a spiritual death for someone that is unwilling to repent of this sin, that they can no longer be in fellowship. Now, one of the beautiful things is when you continue past verse 21, that is where we get the how many times shall we forgive? And it's 70 times seven. And then we get the parable of the unmerciful servant. So the goal is always to win a brother. That's Matthew 18. So I have no problem with someone quoting Matthew 18 if it's in its proper context. But I believe in a situation with thousands of men there, when you have sinful acts being displayed like this before these men that can cause them to stumble, I believe it is a Galatians 2 situation. What do I mean by that? In Galatians chapter 2, and I have to give context, because I think the context is even more beautiful when we truly understand this. In Galatians chapter 2, you have Paul rebuking Peter to his face, and there's a big reason for that. Now, I think it's beautiful when we look at it, because in Galatians chapter 1, before you even get to chapter 2, verse 11, Paul is showing that his ministry is a true ministry of God, that Jesus had called him, but also that when he went and seen if the gospel that he was preaching was accurate, he piggybacked that and actually made it to say, hey, I have proof that it's the right gospel because of Peter, because of James, because of the apostles. They agreed with the gospel that I've been preaching. So the stamp of approval of the gospel message that Paul was preaching, that was being thwarted by the Judaizers who were telling people they needed to be circumcised in order to be saved on top of following Jesus, he was banking everything on, even the apostle Peter and the rest of the disciples believe what I'm saying. But in the midst of giving credence to that, he then says this in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. But when Cephas, that is Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of circumcision. The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas, in the presence of all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like the Jews, how is it that you compel the Gentiles to live like the Jews? He rebuked him to his face because he stood condemned. I believe this is that situation. And here is the danger here. Do you believe at this time when Paul was rebuking Peter, after we already, this is already many years after Pentecost, after the Holy Spirit was poured out into Peter, he was anointed and was able to preach and thousands get saved. Do you believe he was anointed by God, but yet he was still rebuked by Paul? Well, that's interesting, because when the pastor and Mark Driscoll sat down, here's a clip of him talking about it. And here's the interesting thing, because we're talking about Mark Driscoll, someone who has proven to manipulate power when he had his own church in Seattle at Mars Hill over and over again, not only manipulating funds where he takes the church's offering money and then purchases a bunch of his own books to put him up on the bestseller list. And not only that, making up fake profiles to write about people, saying that the Holy Spirit gave him visions of, I mean, guys, you could make people that read 50 Shades of Grey blush by some of the visions that he expressed from the pulpit that he shared during counseling times with husbands and wives about adultery. I don't even want to get into it, but this is a man who has manipulated his power over and over again, and he's sitting next to a pastor who says this very thing about coming against somebody who is anointed.
But what you better be careful about doing, let me just say this. You may agree with Mark, you may agree with me, you may not agree with either one of us. But here's the thing, you have to be careful that you do not criticize people who have the anointing of God on their life. Better to say nothing. Because what happens is, once you begin to criticize somebody who has the anointing on them, you're in the flesh. And once you're in the flesh, then you're moving toward unbelief. And once you move toward unbelief, then you live a barren life spiritually.
Now, you want to talk about cult-like behavior? That is cult-like behavior. To think that you cannot rebuke and come against someone who is teaching falsities because they happen to be anointed and it may send you into unbelief? This is a lie from the pit of hell. This is a manipulation. This is Jim Jones stuff. This is not biblical. And when I look at this, it is precisely the opposite. When you think about Acts chapter 17, when you think about Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, you think about Paul, it says that, guess what? Those in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they tested everything to see if Paul was telling the truth. And what did he test it by? Tested it by the scriptures. These guys are not true men of God. And the Jezebel spirit he's talking about, it's very interesting. We get into a debate about whether or not there is really a Jezebel spirit, because you have a situation where he wants to talk about Elijah, and then all of a sudden there's a Jezebel spirit there. There's a book he's writing about Jezebel and this Jezebel spirit that he talks about. Now, I think they apply it to way too many things, but you look at it, Jezebel and King Ahab, they went after the prophet Elijah to try to kill him. And when you think about it and you hear about Jezebel and Elijah, you see that. That's one event. But then we do have a situation in the book of Revelation when the church of Thyatira, right, is allowing. It says you tolerate Jezebel. And when you tolerate her, guess what? They're leaving your servants astray. Well, this guy has tolerated Jezebel. If you want to have any Jezebel spirit, it's tolerating false teachers who teach that not only can Christians actually have the Holy Spirit inside of them and a demon at the same time, but you tolerate a spirit that would allow for men to have men's conferences. Men to have men's conferences who, in that very church in Springfield, Missouri, pastor and co-pastor with their wife. Now, here's a big problem. In Hebrews chapter 13, it tells us that after it talks about the faithful men and walking like them, then it tells us that our leaders, that we are to submit to them and are the leadership of the church. So this is a guy trying to have a men's conference with a bunch of tanks, with a bunch of boxing, with all of this stuff and pyrotechnics to show men how to be men. And yet he allows for his wife to have men submitting to them spiritually when the Bible says that is out of order and it is not correct. These are not men of God. These are cowards who are putting up big, nice pictures of what they think men are when we find it in the scriptures. Men are those who practice what the Word of God says, who stand up for the truth and the false doctrines of this world, and don't simply talk about the Jezebel spirit in order to sell a book. If we're going to be men of God, let's truly be men of God who care about the Word, trust the word, know that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And if you're truly a man, you're going to submit to the King of Kings and you're going to trust him. You're going to follow him. And when you have been shown to be disqualified from any leadership position, you're going to submit to the authority of the word of God and come under leaders who will actually share with you and build you up in Christ. This has been Chad Davidson. This is the 5:11 News.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.